Blog Talk Radio.
And that's right, guys. After the long summer and pause, we are back on the Jaguar Zone. I'm your host, Jeremy York. Good to be back in the zone. It has been a very cool summer, especially for the Jaguars. We're going to get into a lot of different things today. I'm hoping to set you up for the Philadelphia game coming up soon. We're going to talk Falcons-Jaguars. We're going to talk Jaguars-Eagles. We're going to talk about the 53-man roster, who made it, who didn't. We talk about the practice squad. Just a bunch of really cool stuff happening right now. And, of course, I made sure that the new theme song is a Jacksonville band. You guys will have to look them up. I'm sure they're playing on your local radio station. But, yeah, just it's really good to be back. A lot of really cool things have happened. Just superbly awesome things. You know, first let's jump into... I don't know, I guess it's kind of the big story. We'll kind of get into the roster a little bit. The big story is when it come time for cut day, as it's called, as you try to get from 75 down to 53, which you had to do by Saturday, you know, Ricky Stanzi got cut. Steven Morris, you know, I kind of understand those. A lot of teams go with two quarterbacks, some go with three, that kind of thing. You know, it's not that these guys won't be still around. They'll still be on the short list in case something happens. You know, Ricky Stanzi did a stand-up job, I believe, in the last few years, holding down the fort many times and leading a lot of the practice squads and some of the scout teams and such. Wish him the best in the world. I feel like he's going to get picked up somewhere. Steven Morris, I feel like if he gets a little more seasoning, I believe he's going to be somewhere as well. I still think there's a chance that he could be the third quarterback. But the thing that just stuck out to me, and I know it stuck out to you guys too, we went into this year thinking that with Brad Meester gone, Mike Brewster was pretty much the incumbent. He was being groomed to take over after all this time. You know, never thought for one minute that, you know, maybe they would cut him. But after his not-so-stellar play this offseason, I mean, it kind of makes sense. And he wasn't even signed to the practice squad that I know of. You know, that was some of the later cuts that they did. You know, there's a couple injuries and stuff as well. But in waiving Brewster, it leaves, the rookie Luke Boyenko. I think he'll take over in a couple years. But they're going to start Jock McClendon. Now, Jock McClendon is by far a standout guy. I think he's been in the league two or three years. I believe he may be on his third year. Correct me if I'm wrong there. But, you know, out of Tennessee, lives in Tennessee, actually, so I really doubt he grew up a Titans fan. He has played – I mean, he's played a handful of games. He played a couple games for the Jaguars last year. He's played in Detroit. He's played in Indianapolis. You know, he's got some seasoning to him. This kid, seriously, I mean, he's only 26 years old. He's 6'3", 324 pounds. He's very solid. I mean, clearly, they wouldn't put him as a starter if he wasn't solid. But, I mean, be excited about Jock McClendon. Jock McClendon, for sure, is definitely going to be one of those guys that we're going to very memorable Jaguars. And you know, he's going to make Luke Boyenko have to really be on his horse and really be on everything in order to keep up with him. And I mean, I don't know. I guess I was still slightly baffled by the Brewster thing, but in the NFL, you have to either play or go home. And the Jaguars felt that, he didn't play up to his potential. So, you know, now McClendon's in there. He gets the chance to start. It's going to be they also have Brandon Linder, who's worked at center a lot during camp. He's probably going to end up being the right guard, though. This, you know, all the offseason moves they made and the way they played in this offseason and, I mean, preseason and the way training camps have looked and how just solid they are, I would put this offensive front against a lot of different people. And I would, you know, sure, Jadeveon Clowney is going to play against the Jaguars twice this season. Okay, so what? J.J. Watt's played twice against them for years, and last time I checked, it's not like he has, you know, more than one sack in a game, I believe, against the Jaguars. Once again, if I'm wrong, you can correct me. You know, the Facebook page, End Zone, you can hit us there. You can email the show at, let's see, 3endzone@gmail.com. At 3endzone. You can hit me up personally at TheImpact99 on Twitter. Any kind of questions, comments, you want to crack me on something I say, maybe you got a different take on it, you know, you can actually call into the show. If you're listening right now, I appreciate it. Whatever mobile device or whatever, we're actually on iTunes as well. You can look for any of the Impact Media shows and make sure to find the Jaguar Zones on there. Basically, you just go to iTunes and you can look up Impact Media. You can look up End Zone. There's a Falcon Zone show. There's a new SEC show for all you guys, that all you Florida Gators and everybody else. But the Jaguar Zone shows also as well, you can search for. We're all on there. And like I said, if you want to call into the show, if you're listening right now, if you want to call in, 347-826-7448 will get you right here live on the air. Keep it respectful, for sure. But, you know, I don't have to tell Jaguar fans that. You know, getting back into this, it's Jock McClendon over Mike Brewster. Brewster will get on with somebody. There's so many practice squads and other things going on there that he'll be okay. But that's the one that's gonna either make or break type decision. Going forward, showing everybody that even though he was the heir apparent to the throne, going in a different direction is showing that you're trying to put the best people out on the field. And, you know, Mike put up his best effort, and it was just not quite what they were looking for, I think, and they went in a different direction. We wish the best for Mike Brewster. Not saying that at some point he couldn't come back, but, you know, for right now, it is what it is, and like I said, be excited about Jock McClendon. He'll be number 66. The guy can play, and he's not afraid to go toe-to-toe with whoever's coming up the middle. And, you know, whether it be he's tossing the ball to Chad Henne, who is the starter going forward right now, whether it's Blake Bortles. I know a lot of people are excited and think Bortles will start now. I guess I'm going to take the high road. And as good as Bortles has looked, I don't know that he's quite there yet. There's a few little hiccups. What you're going to have, I mean, he's a rookie. He's, you know, yet to technically play in an official game. I think he'll get some time maybe later on this season. The fact that they're keeping pretty much two quarterbacks tells me that he's not going to sit out the entire year, that he's going to be there to step in when he needs to be. You know, a lot of experts are saying maybe he should start, and a lot of them are saying maybe he shouldn't. Once again, I'm going to just keep it right where I've always been with it, and I'm going to trust Gus Bradley. I'm going to trust this staff to make the decisions that needs to be made. I mean, Chad Kahn has done a great job in putting together the managerial staff, all the new – I can't wait to get down to the stadium and check out all these new things. I know people have really been using the pools. People have really enjoyed the new screens. I mean, there's probably so many new Jaguar fans out in space and probably all across the world. These things are just massive, and they are – awesome. Nobody has screens like this, and be proud of those. You know, let people keep making fun of you, but the Jaguars are coming. They're right now, you know, we'll get into the game against the Falcons here shortly. I've seen this game 3 or 4 times now. I was able to watch a lot of the replays as well as watching it live. But, you know, be proud of the way the Jaguars are playing. Ever since, I don't know what clicked, suddenly they got the right lineup or something last year, and all of a sudden nobody gave up on plays. Everybody was pushing. Everybody was doing everything they can. I mean, like I said, be proud of this. And being part of Duval, it's one of the greatest fan bases in the NFL. I don't just say this because this is a Jaguars show. I say this because, you know, to start with, when I first started covering the Jaguars, I was kind of on the outside looking in. I was like, this is kind of a cool team, a cool fan base with emergence there. But when you get in the middle of you guys have such an electricity that you can't help but just feel just energized to just, I mean, nobody has their head down no matter what the score is. No matter what game I've been to, no matter what the score, no matter what the situation, everybody's got their head held high, everybody got their chest out. Hey, it's Jaguar Zone. It's we are Duval. We, you know, you don't get that a lot of other places. I've been to a handful of other stadiums, and you don't feel that electricity all the time, and I always feel that. Anytime I talk to any Jaguar fan, anytime you guys call in, or I see you guys on the street, or any of the local hangouts, I was able to go to the Bold City Brigade Atlanta Chapters hangout a couple weeks back. Had a great time. Finally got to meet a lot of the other people there. I'd watched a couple games with them last year, but I got to meet more of the other people and just listen to the stories and everybody's story of how you found the Jaguars or why the Jaguars mean so much to you. And it was really cool to connect with everybody like that. I look forward to hanging out with you guys a lot more this season. You know, but we'll get into this game against Atlanta. I mean, yeah, Atlanta come out of the gate and put up 7 points right off the bat, put up 14 in the second quarter. Jacksonville had two in the fourth and had two scores, had one in the fourth and one in the second. Yeah, you got outscored 24-14. Atlanta's got a pretty high-powered offense. Atlanta's trying some different things. They were actually getting a little more into their playbook. The Jaguars are keeping it simple right now. They're not showing everybody the game plan. They're one of the few teams that kept it just as vanilla as possible. Wanted to make sure the continuity of playing next to each other, make sure everybody was on board, everybody knew what was supposed to happen on particular plays. I very much think that Gus Bradley didn't even open his actual playbook. I'm sure he was playing, you know, a very, very basic schedule of plays. Just, you know, like I said, we don't want to show everybody everything. Not right now, no. And you don't want the Eagles to know what you're going to do in week one. For one, it's none of their business. Make them figure it out. You know, some of the stats from that game, Stephen Morris was 12 for 18 for 92 yards. That's not bad. Ricky Stanzi, 8 for 15 for 89 yards. Once again, that's not bad. Bortles, 4 for 6 for 86 yards and a touchdown. I mean, Bortles has all the tools, and he's getting so close to being ready. I don't think he's quite there yet. This is Atlanta defense still trying to figure things out, but they're a pretty stout defense. And the fact that you scored twice on them, they don't easily give up points. They're not going to easily give up points this year. In fact, a lot of people have them going pretty far. You know, a lot of people have the Jaguars going far. It just depends on who you ask, and everything media-related, keep in mind, is opinion. You can back it up with as many facts as you want, but it's, you know, until these guys get out there and play, we're not going to know. We're not going to know what's what. I think, you know, the rushing game, they're slowly showing, you know, in this last game, not everybody played or anything like that. Gerhardt. You guys are going to love Gerhardt. I think playing those couple of years with Adrian Peterson set him up to be exactly where he needs to be right now. Jordan Todman is probably going to be either the starter or the second behind Gerhardt. I think he'll probably be second. But a 1-2 punch there, I mean, that's hard to compete with, a 1-2 punch like that. You've got speed. You've got agility. You've got just bulldozer mentality. Denard Robinson has slowly put it together. You know, for all the knocks that went against him last year, the main thing you got to remember is Denard was a quarterback in college. At University of Michigan, he was a quarterback. He decided to be a running back because he realized that he was better at running and making plays and improvising than he was throwing the ball. So he decided to swap on that front, was drafted by the Jaguars. Now that he's starting to put it together, everybody's noticing his effort and everything in it like that. Denard's going to be fine. You got Storm Johnson backing it up as well. I mean, it's the thing that stood out to me, I do like that Bortles pass to Marquise Lee. That was a thing of beauty. And even the Falcons defenders just had to kind of go, wow, that was as on the money as it needed to be. That's the kind of things you want to look for. Now, am I saying, you know, that Bortles should start over Chad Henne? Once again, I'm going right back to it's up to Gus. Gus feels it doesn't need to happen, then I'm right there with you, Gus. You've never led him astray before. I don't think you're going to do it now. I do think, you know, T.J. Yates did put up a ton of numbers and a couple of touchdowns, but T.J. Yates is an accomplished quarterback. He got Houston their only playoff win in team history, and they didn't feel highly enough to keep him around. They ended up trading him to Atlanta. I think he'll be fine there. But the thing I took away from the Atlanta and Jacksonville game is Jacksonville is exactly where they need to be. Do I think, you know, let's move to the Philadelphia game. Do I think that the Jaguars can beat Philadelphia this week? I believe the game's at 1. It'll be on Sunday. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's nothing I've seen that says otherwise. Now, what Philadelphia's going to do, and here's some things I'm looking at as far as the game. Philadelphia is going to play very fast. Philadelphia is going to play a lot of quick plays, a lot of little dump and dink, as it's called, a lot of 5 to 7 yard plays, just little short passes, little short runs. They like to do it and like to beat you with speed. You got to watch out because Foles can throw the deep ball. I think his only real deep threat is Jeremy Maclin. You know, could be wrong, but in everything I've seen, Chip Kelly is going to keep running his Oregon College offense, which I feel like everybody's going to start to figure it out because all it is very quick and very short little plays here and there with the occasional home run throw. Nick Foles is a very accomplished quarterback. I think if the Jaguars can get pressure on him early, and, you know, a few times, it doesn't even have to be a sack, but quarterback pressures will start making him think twice about sticking in the pocket. Start making him run out all over the place. He's not the best scrambler in the world. I mean, get some of these guys after him. Start making, start making them keep Brent Celek in as a blocking tight end and not let him run out. Make them think twice about running reverses and all kinds of trick plays. Basically, what the Jaguars need to do to win this is prove what everybody's been trying to tell Philadelphia for the last year anyway. This is not the Pac-12. In the Pac-12 now, you can't really survive doing these little plays and quickness like this. I mean, that's why Stanford's leading. Stanford is one of the biggest throwbacks there is. But, you know, another day, another show for a Stanford discussion. Going back to this, do I think Chad Henne can lead this offense? Absolutely. Are they going to put up a bunch of points? I think they're capable of at least, you know, 3 scores or better. And as far as field goals, who else is better than Josh Scobie as far as relying on to kick a field goal when you need it? I mean, he's got that new little thing where I think if he kicks a 45 yarder or further, you get a free sub. That's awesome. I mean, I can't wait to cash in and get mine. The last time any athlete got me anything is one time Atlanta Brave catcher at that time, Brian McCann, hit a home run in a certain inning and got me a free burrito at Moe's. That's awesome. For one, it's free food, but it shows your pride that not only were you watching the game, not only are you a fan, not only do you support these local businesses and all these other places, but that your kicker is one of the most reliable in the game. I mean, I'd put Scobie against anybody. And that's not because Scobie's just a cool guy. I'd put Josh Scobie against anybody else in this league and let him have a kickoff. Let him do whatever you got to do for that other guy to feel like he's as good. To me, Scobes is the best. He's always been that way. I've met kickers. I know kickers that have played in the league. I still like Josh Scobie. He's the guy. So, you know that you can rely on that, you can also take a couple chances. You know, on a third and long, you can go, well, you know, in case we can't get, you know, maybe it's third and 12. You can try to get 12, but if you end up with 10 and you're still in field goal range, Scobie's going to hit it. He's not going to miss. And I'm not doing this to jinx him or anything, by all means. He's going to be perfectly fine. What would I say is the score for this game? I don't know. I like the Jaguars defense pretty well. I think they're going to put the Eagles offense in check. The Eagles defense has been kind of suspect. I mean, they're not the Cowboys, which are seriously they're a dumpster fire. But, you know, I'll put a cap on this. I'll say this game could be 24-20 Jaguars. I think three scores and a Scobie kick and two scores and two whoever they have as their kicker. They let go of Henry, so I don't know who's even kicking for Philadelphia. And the fact that you would cut your 3 or 4 or 5 year veteran kicker, I mean, they don't have any faith in their kicking game. They're going to be going for it a lot on fourth down. That's all the Jaguars got to do is hold them back. And I know that sounds easy. It's not like we're all playing Madden here or something like that. But, you know, it is what it is. I really think that they have a legitimate shot here. And you guys should, too. So anybody that's at the game, if you guys want to tweet me pictures of yourself at the stadium or you showing your pride, I mean, maybe at some of the local establishments. I mean, I know they have a lot of great places you can go down there. If you need a good place to go, always find the Bold City Brigade or the Teal Street Hooligans. They always know a great place to play. By all means, try to go to early to their tailgate. It's just a must-see, must-do thing when you go to these games. If you don't get a chance to go to the game, go to the Shim Sham Room. You know, that's we had Jackson DeVille on a couple weeks back. That's his place. Go on down and check out his place, Curtis Dvorak. He co-owns that bar. When I'm in Jacksonville, I'm going to the Shim Sham Room. There's all kinds of other places. You guys are always mentioning places. If you want to tweet in suggestions, and we'll pass those along to all the Jaguar fans so that you know where you can go see the game in case you're not at the stadium. Like I said, if you are at the stadium, let us know. These pools are very cool. I believe some people have already made a case for being very cool and very awesome at the pool. You know, let everybody else know how cool it is so that they'll all go check it out. We're all going to check it out at least a couple times this year anyway. So I guess if you guys want to quote me, as I'm seeing some of the comments roll in, if you guys want to quote me, yeah, I'll go 24-20 Jaguars with the victory this week. And I feel confident with that. In no way, hey, I'm not going to come back on that, and I'm not just saying it for the sake of the show like some people may. Like I said, I put this offensive line, I'll put them up against any defensive front. I feel like they can more than hold their own. You know, and even adding the depth of the guys they have on the practice squad, adding Peyton Thompson at cornerback. They got Henry Josey as a running back. Offensive tackle Cody Booth. Defensive tackle DeAndre Coleman. Safety Craig Lawson. Stephen Morris made the quarterback. He's on there. Wide receiver Kerry Taylor. you guys are familiar with him as well. Linebacker Marcus Whitfield and wide receiver Tony Washington. I mean, that's no matter what happens, there's the backups. There's people ready to step into these positions. So if something happens, don't worry about it. I mean, John Oser and everybody else has been telling you on a daily basis through his shows and media works and everything. This team's ready. And I'm pretty sure the fan base is ready just as well. It's time to do this. It's time to show everybody that the Jaguars' time is now. Now, I did say I've been quoted a couple times as saying I think the Jaguars are looking at right at an 8-8 season. I do think that. They could be above that. I'm just saying that on a almost a worst-case thing, I think they're going to have at least 6, 7, 8 wins. Could be more. Indianapolis is still rebuilding. Tennessee is a mess. They're still trying to figure out who's even going to be on the team. And Houston has got two good pass rushers, and then what? So, I mean, sure, they blew up Atlanta, but so it's preseason. Preseason just shows you, you know, lets you run plays, lets you see if personnel can work together, who should be in, who should be out, those kinds of things. So, you know, if you run up a score in a preseason, then so what? That's why, you know, losing to Atlanta 24-14 is not a big deal. To me, I learned more off of that than I would a blowout. With blowout, a lot of times people just kind of give up and let it go and just, you know, okay, we'll just play better next game. No, it's you keep digging, you keep putting points up, you keep showing everybody the continuity and everything. Once again, if you do have any questions, comments, suggestions, just want to tell everybody how cool it is to be a Jaguar fan, to be a part of Duval. You can find me at TheImpact99 on Twitter. The show Twitter is at 3endzone. 3endzone @gmail.com is the email. You can find us on Facebook or the Endzone page on there. And, you know, if you didn't get a chance to this time and you want to call in next time, 347-826-7448. Love to hear from you. We'll be having a few special guests in the upcoming weeks. Have some of our friends back on. Have some other people we haven't met yet. Look forward to it. You know, like I said, be excited. This game is coming. And 1 o'clock on Sunday, I know I'm going to be watching. You going to be watching? Let's show everybody how electric and how exciting Jaguar Nation is. But that is going to do it for me this week. Hopefully this will be right around our time spot. I believe we'll be between 7 and 8. I'll let you guys know just as soon as I know something in the upcoming weeks. But, you know, Jaguar Zone's back. I'm excited to be back. Love to chat with you guys and talk Jaguars. But that is going to do it for me this week. I am your host, Jeremy York. Appreciate you dropping by the Jaguars. And we'll see you guys next week.